What's up? What's up? What's up? It's the Kind of Sort of Sports Podcast. I'm your host, John Browner. I know I've been gone for a while, but I'm back. And I got a lot to talk about. Now, obviously, I know a couple of people have been wondering where the hell I've been. I changed addresses, so it took me a while to get all my stuff together and get my mind right to approach this podcast. Obviously, throughout this entire moving period, I missed out on the whole Michael Brown situation. Unfortunately for me, I got this right back up and going during the Eric Garner situation. And I say that unfortunately, not unfortunately because I don't want to talk about it. It's unfortunate because I do have to talk about it. But again, that there is an assorted portion of the program. If you don't know how the program works, this is a Kind of Sort of Sports Podcast. I'm your host, John Browner, where we kind of talk about sports and we sort of talk about everything else. If you don't subscribe to the podcast, you can do that at iTunes. Go into iTunes, type in John Browner's Podcast. It'll pop up. If not, you can go to Facebook, and you can always Facebook me at Kind of Sort of Sports Podcast on Facebook. Become a member of the fan club, I guess is what they call it. Like the page. On today's show, we're going to talk about Uncle Charles, and I will get to the full extent of that. And we'll also talk about the St. Louis Police Department demanding an apology and reprimand and punishment dished out to the St. Louis players who chose to do a hands up, don't shoot in protest. Now, what I want to talk about first, though, is sometimes when we let a person not overstay their welcome, but exceed through popularity in a particular field, sometimes we let that cup overflow. And when that cup overflows, it starts to get everywhere. What I mean when I'm talking about that is, Steve Harvey, he became such a gigantic comedian with the Kings of Comedy run that he had. And then he started doing his own radio show, Steve Harvey Morning Show, which was immensely popular. We never hate somebody here at the Kind of Sort of Sports Podcast for success because we wish everybody the most success, even the haters. So, when Steve Harvey began to multitask these things, Steve Harvey then began to give relationship advice. And then that's when you started to think to yourself, wait, I thought this motherfucker was a comedian. When did he become a relationship expert? Much to the fact, like, when we allowed Dr. Phil to become so, so popular, then we found out he wasn't a doctor. Much like Dr. Show Dr. Oz has become so famous during daytime television, when he was called into Congress to discuss the weight loss pills he had, basically the drugs he had been slanging on his show. And then he had to admit that none of that shit's scientifically proven. None of it will help you lose weight. He's selling it because somebody's paying him to say that. We have entered an age with one Sir Charles Barkley where we've allowed Charles Barkley to oversaturate his popularity. Because when Charles Barkley starts talking about civil rights disagreements, when Charles Barkley starts talking about the situation in Ferguson, whether it be good or bad, we've allowed Charles Barkley to now do too much. You would not ask a teacher to be a police officer and vice versa. We've asked Charles Barkley now to be a sports commentator and apparently some type of civil rights spokesman for white people. Because a long time ago, when Charles Barkley was spitting on little girls, throwing people through windows into Philadelphia, and losing in the NBA Finals to Michael Jordan, shout out to the Chicago Bulls, he was looked at as some angry threat to American society. I'm not a role model. That's what he's famous for. That's basically the fame when it comes from athletically, how Charles Barkley began to seep into the mainstream media with the slogan, I'm not a role model, implying that sports athletes, sports figures alone should not be athletes. Parents should be, role models. The parents should be the role models for these kids, which is a true statement, which is a valid point. But I think that ad has gone on unwatched for so long by Charles Barkley, he forgot to take his own damn advice. No, Charles, you're not a role model. And so when you call the people of Ferguson scumbags for looting, where do you get off doing that? When you come out and you say that now that the facts are in and the grand jury made the right decision, here's something that you need to know, Charles Barkley, because I'm sure in your Uncle Tom way of living that you've now accepted, you have become too busy to read, facts, websites, newspapers, blogs. I don't know if you even know what a blog is. And before I start chastising Charles Barkley, I want everybody to know I love Charles Barkley as a sports commentator. Charles Barkley is my favorite person on television when it comes to discussing sports. But at this point, I think Charles Barkley belongs on Fox News and not TNT. Because for him to say the grand jury got it right and we should now all leave this alone, and to go out and call someone a scumbag when you don't know that person's situation. Now, Charles Barkley is paid to talk, but at the same time, apparently he's not paid to read. Because if he had read about the Ferguson situation, he would know that the facts were not all given during the grand jury testimony. If there were black people who agreed with the police officer's account of how the situation went, I'll give them four. That's four people out of 16 eyewitnesses. 16 people claim they saw what happened at that point. There's even video of construction workers who have absolutely nothing to do with either side simply screaming, he had his fucking hands up. That's video. Was that given into evidence? When the grand jury came out with the information about what was given in there and what wasn't given in there, immediately the pundits, MSNBC, Fox, CNN, Nancy Grace of all people, took to the airwaves to bash Todd McCullough, the prosecutor, for not even giving proper evidence, for defending the police officer, for not giving proper causes to why this man should be charged. Todd McCullough gave reasons on why not to charge. Not why to, why not to. Even went as far as to handing out old laws that aren't even legal in the state of Missouri anymore. So the next time Charles Barkley wants to get into the political sphere and start telling people how they should and shouldn't feel and calling black people scumbags, I want him to know something. You once wrote a book called Who's Afraid of the Scary Black Man? Now, if you've watched the news, Charles, you know just about everybody. And if it wasn't for basketball, if it wasn't for the hard work you put in on the basketball court, you would be a nobody, a fat, chubby loser from some fucking place called Leeds, Alabama, which no one could find on a map if you gave them $100 bill and a map of Alabama. And there's the problem. And therein lies the problem. People like Charles Barkley start speaking out of their lane. Steve Harvey, who wrote a relationship book for women called Think Like a Man, was then caught cheating on his wife. It's not that complicated, people. It's not that complicated. When you ask someone to do something out of the realm of things they do, they say really dumb shit. They do uncharacteristic things because that's not what they do. Charles Barkley is a basketball commentator. Take Charles Barkley's comments with a grain of salt unless they involve basketball, which oftentimes he isn't right on that either. Charles Barkley is great when talking about basketball, how things go off of feel, not off technical issues, not off wins and losses. He's the comedy relief on the TNT show. He's not the voice of reason on the show. He's the comedy relief. So remember that. The next time you want to take something that Charles Barkley says to heart about the black community, about the white community, about anything other than basketball. Because at this point, Charles Barkley has replaced the calling of a black person of Uncle Tom. The new term is Uncle Charles. Because Uncle Tom doesn't do Charles Barkley justice. Because Uncle Tom is a connotation used for the past. And we need new things to call people so we can help them identify with what's going on in today's society. So if you're a black man who came from nothing, made it to somewhat of popularity and success across white America, and you now verbally cater to them to the downfall of your own, you are a Uncle Charles. If you are a Hispanic and you go against your race, other Hispanics, Mexicans, you are Uncle Charles. Okay? That's what there are no more Uncle Toms. Let's get rid of Uncle Tom. The new Uncle Tom is Uncle Charles. And he will sit up there, fat and happy, giving the viewing public what they want as long as he can keep cashing his checks. So the next time you see Charles Barkley quoted on Rush Limbaugh or Hannity or Bill O'Reilly or any of these right-wing fear-mongers, please understand, Charles Barkley is now useful to them. Because when he wrote the book, Who's Afraid of a Big Angry Black Man, he was not. And he was never quoted by these people. Now, his quotes are useful to them. And so now he can be used by them. Be careful, Charles Barkley. Be careful. Because you will learn the lesson that O.J. Simpson learned. Which I'm pretty sure, I don't know why you don't already know this, but you will quickly learn the lesson that Michael Jackson learned. You will quickly learn the lesson that at the end of the day, regardless of how much you have, where you have been, and what you have done, at the end of the day, in the eyesight of those who you're trying to be in the company of, you will always be just a nigga.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So, Jerry Cook, Kenny Britt, Stedman Bailey, Chris Givens, and Tavon Austin did what they could to show their support for what happened to Mike Brown. Those guys who are St. Louis Rams football players did not have to show solidarity with the community of Ferguson, which is less than 10 miles from the actual stadium in which they play in. Those five guys did not have to put themselves in a spotlight in a negative way, as viewed by many, for sharing in the way that they saw fit in comparison to what's going on in Ferguson. Now, you cannot have professional football players out rioting in the street, even if that's how they feel. You can't have professional football players really partaking in marches. Okay, because we keep it 100% real here. You will not see a professional football player of that magnitude out marching in the streets of Ferguson in a peace march. We just live in a different time where that would be absolutely horrifying for any professional team to have their players out in that type of a scenario where it is one side against the other. Now, the reason this even became a controversy is because the St. Louis Police Department And I believe this is the only reason why this was any type of discussion, because no one talked about this. This happened. Half the stadium cheered, half the stadium booed, which shows you how St. Louis feels about it. And on top of that, no one was going to discuss this. This wasn't going to be talked about until this happened. The St. Louis Police Department, the St. Louis spokesman for the police department, came out and said that the players who took part in such a thing should be reprimanded by the NFL and the St. Louis Rams. Now, this tells you something about the balls, for lack of a better word, of the Ferguson Police Department at this point. This tells you about the intestinal fortitude of the Ferguson police at this point. For them to have the gall to simply demand an apology from someone when they just allowed a murderer to walk free is laughable. It's absolutely laughable. And not to be outdone by them, good old Mike Ditka, by the way, I love Mike Ditka. Again, this is something where football players should stick to talking about football. Mike Ditka said he doesn't know what all this madness is about the hands up, don't shoot. It's ridiculous. Those guys should be ashamed of themselves. I don't know what happened, but I know the facts of the case. Mike Ditka, let me break something down to you. If you say you don't know what happened, but you know the facts of the case, that's what they call contradictory. And so for you to even get involved in this situation makes you look stupid. It makes you look ignorant. Much like the St. Louis, the Ferguson Police Department looks ignorant for stepping in a lane that they were not welcomed. You are allowed as an American citizen to protest, to speak your mind about something that you feel like is wrong. And that's all that those guys were doing. And they did a voiceless protest. They simply put their hands up in the hands up, don't shoot way, as many of the Ferguson protesters have. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Those men should be commended for what they did. While there are guys out beating their wives, drinking and driving, those are real issues with athletes today. Apparently beating their kids. These are real issues. These men sending a message to the community of Ferguson to let them know that they are not alone should be commended. It shouldn't be slapped down as they would like it to have been. There's nothing wrong with expressing your voice. That's what this country is all about. And a message to the Ferguson Police Department. It's time for you guys to pipe down. You bungled what should have been a trial by simply letting someone escape. Just clean, scot-free, gone. And you had the nerve to then hold a press conference and say he will not be receiving any what's that you could give you when you quit a job where they pay a lot of money? Severance pay, severance package. If and this is the part where your ears should have went up when you heard this. If Darren Wilson was justified in the killing of Mike Brown, why would he not receive everything that's due to him if he's choosing to step down as a police officer? If he got paid leave during the case being worked out, if he got paid leave, why would he not be entitled to whatever else he should get once he steps away from the police department? If it's owed to him, he should get it, right? If he did nothing wrong. That's what bothers me, is that this thing has been hit and miss and etchy and sketchy from day one. And the Ferguson Police Department continue to overstep their bounds where they don't belong. Now, in the future, for players who want to protest, who want to have their voices heard. I would like to give the NFL one, for once this year, a standing ovation. Because you guys finally got one right.
Fuck you! Fuck you! And fuck you! Who's next?
Of this podcast, I want to share something I saw in regards to the Eric Garner situation. The Eric Garner situation is the black man selling loose cigarettes, Lucy's are the term, who was basically choked to death by several New York Police Department members, NYPD. So, something that got my attention when I was watching this, two things. The first one was someone finally said something. I have been waiting since I was born to hear someone say, for a person who has had their family member killed, after the murderer, who was not punished, says, I want to send my prayers and my condolences out to the family. I meant no harm. For Eric Garner's wife, widow, to say thank you, but no thank you. Basically, fuck your apology. The time for apologies and sorries was when you were choking her husband and he was saying he couldn't breathe. I applaud that woman. Because it's about time someone spoke like that. It's about time people spoke their mind and how they truly feel in situations like that. The second thing, there's a lot of anti-protest in the street. Obviously, there are people protesting, but the people who are seeing these protests are really being upset by this. And lastly, I want to say something. I want to get something out of the way, and it may not all come out the way I wanted to, but I have to say to people who like to talk about the March on Washington as this great peaceful thing that everyone enjoyed. By the March on Washington, I'm talking about Dr. King. But at the time, those protests were met with hate and anger at every turn. America would have you believe that the people objecting to the march were in the minority and not the majority, when it was the complete opposite. I say that to start because in 2014, the fact that all this outrage for Americans protesting is greeted with a scowl when it should be greeted with a cheer. As Americans, we have the freedom to disagree with each other without the threat of violence, to speak out where we see a wrong. For the people who say Dr. King would have never led marches like this when we see today, like in Ferguson and like in New York, let me remind you of something. The Dr. King marches often ended in violence and arrest. And that was by the police. Fire hoses and blood-hungry police dogs. So the next time you see a protest and you want to complain about it, please know that the people who are peacefully protesting in the streets that are now holding you up from getting home an hour earlier are doing that as their constitutional right. And the only thing that you need to be happy about in that situation is that these protests at one time were met with dogs and fire hoses. And now these protests are met with traffic stops. If you want to seek progression, there it is. There's the progress. We've stopped sicking police dogs and stopped hosing people protesting for things that they should commonly have in today's society. I'm John Browner. You've been listening to the Kind of Source Sports Podcast. And like I always say, y'all, never ever give up. Take care.